Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
An Erio's original.
Okay, we should do our Ask Camilla.
Hi, if you could just open up that podcast app and do both of these things. Number one, subscribe. Mm-hmm. Number two, rate us 5 stars. Both these things are important. They're good for us. They're good for you because we can keep doing the pod. And you'll feel great about it and we'll feel great about it and everyone should feel great.
Yes.
So just subscribe and give us 5 stars.
The world is burning and the least you can do is support women of color.
Absolutely.
This Excellent is more point. Of a demand.
Yes.
Than ask.
Yes.
It's a demand. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Love you.
Welcome to Foxy Browns. I'm Priyanka.
And I'm Camilla. And this is the podcast that navigates beauty and wellness from our perspectives as women of color.
This week, like every week, we're talking stuff and things, tips and tricks, and deconstructing Western beauty standards. And we are joined by special guest, Winter Mitchell Rohrbaugh.
You did a good job.
Yay, me.
Wow.
Wow. Winter is a writer and a social media genius. The company she founded, Pablo Jobs, is the creme de la creme of high-end social media management. We will let her share who she's worked with, or a quick Google will tell you it's everyone. Winter.
Welcome to the show.
I'm really happy to be here. Honored. Very honored.
I'm thrilled to have you. Excited to see you.
Really great to be here. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm a social media manager. I've worked with a lot of people. J-Lo.
Winter.
Who else?
Oh, sorry.
Come on.
J-Lo. No, there's nothing to laugh at. J-Lo, Aerosmith, Lena Dunham. That's a few. Margaret Cho, who's one of my favorites.
I mean, how can you not love Margaret Cho?
She's great. I have a lot of other clients who Dasha Polanco. I really love. I was telling her I was doing this today, and she was like, I want to be on the show. What is it called? Foxy Browns? I want to do that. That sounds like something I want to do. And I was like, yes, I can make that happen for you.
Wonderful. Cannot wait. Cannot wait to have Dasha. She's fantastic. So how did you become a social media manager? How did you get into that job?
I was working in corporate America, and that doesn't work for me.
It doesn't work for a lot of people, but you know, capitalism be like that sometimes.
It wasn't working for me, and I felt like maybe 6 or 7 years ago I saw ahead of time that, you know, I was working in publishing and I was working in creating websites for celebrities, for like Real Housewives and the Kardashians, and that also too felt like something that was dying. So I said, what if I just start strategizing in-house with them and building things? And now it's just like, now it's like a new roller coaster working for myself. It's like a whole new, you know, challenge just to sort of like become a different person every time you wake up. Like every day I wake up and I'm like 4 or 5 different people.
Yeah.
And it's like,
you wake up,
really,
someone's your J-Lo. Someone wants you wake up and you're Dasha.
It's just a lot of different voices in your head. And then on top of that, teams, depending on the size of the star's wattage, it's just like multiple teams, it's multiple people. Like, you know, I've been complaining about it lately, because not because I'm ungrateful, I'm completely grateful, but also there's this outer world that's happening, and when you're working for people, it's very insular. So depending on how much they know about what's going on in the world, you're bringing in this like conversation about what you see down here, and depending on where they're at, I'm not naming anybody in particular, but they're just like, it concerns them or it doesn't concern them at all.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of been like a like, you know.
And there are also, there are lots of things that are happening socially and without in the world that people who are not on, maybe on Twitter during the day or have their information kind of fed to them, are not aware of. And so, you know, sometimes do you experience that, you know, a personality can make an insensitive statement.
Yeah.
Because of that lack of awareness of what
is
actually happening on the ground.
Well, that's basically my job, is to come in and be like, that wasn't okay, or that's great, and here's why, or that's great. And they can decide if they want to listen to me or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that was the thing. Like when I started in this business, it was publicist, right? Yeah. And because coverage was so limited and measured and controlled, and now with public figures being able to interact with their audiences in real time, mm-hmm. you've got to keep up, and that's you've got to kind of cornered the market on that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm my background as a journalist and a writer, and I just think that always being obsessed with news and the cycle mm-hmm. has always been my, you know, I've been able to sort of use that as like a chief offering. Like I'm going to be on the ground, not only in real life, mm-hmm. but also just in everything. I'm always reading, constantly consuming.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, since this election, I mean,
who can keep up?
But no, but it's like, since this election, it's like, it's something that used to be super fun for me is not as fun.
Yeah.
It's just not as fun because every day there's like a new outrage and then they tell you, don't be so outraged. And it's like, okay, how can I not be outraged? This is targeting me,
my safety, my existence, safety. And my actual, you know, legality to be alive.
Yes.
And that's, it's hard not to take that personally.
Right.
And you should get to take that personally.
Yes.
And the alteration of the argument and turning that, your rightful indignation into you being soft or being a snowflake or it being reverse racism is just another scam and Jedi mind trick that we're just not even.
I don't think about that anymore. For the longest time, I was trying to like hold back my thoughts and opinions on Twitter because I was like, I'm a professional and I need to establish things.
Yeah.
And now that's just out the window because at the end of the day, it wasn't benefiting me at all. People every day probably wonder when they're following me, like, how does she have a blue check mark?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is why I have a blue check mark. This is my fucking legacy. Like, this is what I've been doing. I've been on there for years. I've watched the complete evolution of social media happen before my eyes. And it's just nothing less than stunning every day.
Yeah. When were you a Twitter adopter?
Very, like, literally day one.
Yeah.
I just, my first tweet I remember was like, what is this even supposed to mean? And I interviewed Jack very early, very like within 2 to 3 months of Twitter's launch. And I interviewed him for, they'd never been interviewed. The only reason I got the interview is because they'd never been interviewed by a tabloid.
Wow.
So it was a very puffy, easy 10-minute conversation. Yeah. And it was just a conversation about who's the most followed celebrities on Twitter. So, you know, it was the first interview that was ever in a tabloid magazine. I'm very Forrest Gumpy like that. Like I have a lot of words that like nobody else did.
Right.
And it was literally just like a half page. These are the most followed people on Twitter. And this is what Jack says. And that was back when it was like 2008, 2009.
Yeah. Wow.
So, I mean, like my email is, I don't care, winter@gmail. And that's because
I'm an early adopter of technology.
Yeah, early adopter of technology. Yeah. It's just what I love.
And it's interesting, like the relationship between celebrities and Twitter, because I mean, obviously, as its founding, it was, you know, supposed to be just, you know, a platform as close to, you know, to Facebook and mm-hmm. it was kind of egalitarian. But Twitter, like celebrities joining Twitter, is what made it blow up.
Right.
It's what made it blow up, but I think that they are less now the meat of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now more writers, journalists. I think they have taken it back because they are literally on the front lines every single day, consuming and digesting and then distributing content.
Yeah. So, whereas celebrities also are now realizing that the more you tweet, the more trouble you get into.
The more trouble you get into. And I feel like, you know, for me, like I have a relationship to Twitter where I understand things. And what's become more difficult is that it's hard to convey to a client, any particular client, like this is how you should be on there.
Right.
They really simply see it as a place to distribute wares and get the retweets and likes. And, you know, for me, it's like I have a cleverness about it. So the most success I've ever had with a client is when they just let me do it.
Mm. And isn't that funny?
Yes. Well,
it's almost as if one of you is completely dedicated their entire career to managing social media and telling stories on the internet.
The thing that I found interesting recently is like when I talk to my friends who aren't in sort of the entertainment bubble is that they are shocked by the fact that people aren't doing their own tweets.
How is that still a shock?
No, when I'm like, any corporation has social media managers, we have a social media manager and we're a startup. So why would a public figure who has a lot going on not have someone manage their...
The best people, I mean, like, it's not taking away from the people I work with. They're all great people, but I'm going to be honest, like the best people that do that, the best reactions are when someone actually knows themselves. And that's what I've always prided myself on, is really getting to know somebody, or just already having that knowledge about them. Like Steven Tyler is a great example of that. Like, I've been an Aerosmith fan since I was a little kid. So it was easy to just become him and make him go viral for any single thing. It was fun. And I mean, he doesn't have it on his phone. He doesn't, you know.
That's the perfect scenario for a celebrity. Just take the app off the phone.
Don't even know it.
Does he check in? Like, do people like that check in and they're like, what have you done? Or they're just like, whatever,
he was like bewildered at how well I knew how to be him.
Right.
He was bewildered. And other people are like, they are just very specific about like what they want to say, but it doesn't matter. Cause like when they do it, it doesn't do anything. So it's like, you know, I've learned this year in particular that like some people, like you can give them all the tools and be there for them and it just won't matter. And it doesn't make it fun. And some people you can just totally do it transactionally, like a fast food restaurant, and it's not as fun for me, but it gets the job done and I get paid.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I'm definitely starting to sort of reimagine like what it is that I'm actually doing. And it's not because I want to, or I'm like the muse, like Sharon Stone. I just feel like there's an evolution happening and I need to figure out what it's evolving and make it happen like really fast.
You can sense a change. You have like a connection to the internet that I've never seen. Like, you just get it. You can like follow the rhythms of it and be like, this is what's coming next. Mm-hmm. This is the next thing. Don't do this. Focus on that. Yeah. Like, I've seen you do it with me. You're like, I would do this. And I'm like, okay. Sure. I would
also like make a TikTok. I'm just telling you right now.
Oh, I know. She's always trying to get
it. I love it so much. I spend so much time on it.
There's so many adults on it.
And it's really distressing me.
I'm concerned.
I don't enjoy it. I saw the Washington Post jump on there the other day trying to like join in on one of the trends, and it made me so uncomfortable I had to close the app.
I have a question about TikTok, and the thing that concerns me is all the, like, I don't know, the articles that say, and hopefully this is not fake news, I think these are real reputable newspapers saying, this is like you're giving people the tools to figure out AI via TikTok.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah. Every single app that you use, which is free, that you are not paying for, you are the product.
You're giving out the data.
Like, all of it. Everything from Instagram to Twitter.
It's too late now. It's like trying to, you know, somebody knows exactly what happened, like how I left my house, what I was doing, where I was going, the direction. It's too late.
Okay, everything's done. We live in the Matrix.
Okay, we're going to dive deeper into public personas and how you shape them, Winter, and how you are shaping your own as you dive back into writing and, you know, being a public person yourself. But can we just take a short detour into Stuff and Things?
Oh, yeah.
So Stuff and Things is where we talk about Stuff and Things. We talk about products and recommendations, treatments, and things you should steer clear of, and anything really that has excited you this week. Anything you've bought, done, anything like that.
First of all, I want to know about this lipstick that you're wearing, which is outstanding.
Can I just tell you, I can't find it. It was $3.
I love a $3 lipstick.
It was $3 because I went online and I saw, like, I'm trying to find the right red blue for my skin tone, and I'm just trying every different thing that doesn't make my top, doesn't like my the skin on my top lip, because I stopped smoking.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And I noticed that my lips were getting lighter because I had Obama lips for a long time.
Wow. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yes.
Smoking affects like your circulation very, very much. And so it will change color of your skin. Like, you'll notice that the tips of your fingers are now a little bit warmer. Like, you don't, your feet won't be as cold.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yikes. So like I've been my whole big thing, like my beauty regimen is like very specific now. The one thing that I started introducing was under eye concealer, so I can give myself dimension. I didn't know that was going to come anytime soon, but I will tell you that there is, and I wish I knew the name of it, but there's a Japanese store inside Fashion Island Mall that's like the IKEA of things.
What?
And it is like things that you would usually go and spend like $10 to $15 on, but it's like everything is a dollar or $2.
I love a Japanese dollar store.
Is it Daiso?
It's not Daiso, but it it might be Daiso. Mm-hmm. And they have the thing that I bought recently that I loved was it was a humectant rose oil, rose water. So it was a very concentrated rose water because I've been buying the rose water at Trader Joe's, mm-hmm. which is good.
It's fine,
but
it's good to have in the car.
It's good to have in a car. And I started like treating it like it was actually doing what anything. I wanted it to do, yeah. and it wasn't. But then this whole $4 gigantic Ooh. Bottle of rose water. I got that, and then I got the hyaluronic.
Yes. We are very into the hyaluronic yes. serums at the moment.
It's game just, changer.
We live in a desert. We need the moisture.
We need the moisture. We need the moisture. So I've been, that's my train, and I got my husband into it because he didn't know that he needed lotion and moisturizer. Question, is your husband, a white man.
Oh my God. I also, I too am married to a white man.
Me too.
Hashtag me too.
It was not until maybe the third year of our relationship that I was in his bathroom and I had forgotten my moisturizer and I thought, oh, okay, it's an emergency. Yeah. I'll just borrow some of his.
Yeah.
It didn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. so I had to sit him down. We had to have a little conversation about the fact that I am not going to age. And so he needs to take better care of his skin because
why is this the same conversation we're always having?
Yeah, we gotta
I'm have not it. Trying to look like with be with you and you're looking yes, old.
Exactly.
And he's younger than me.
I don't wanna be walking Wait around with you in 20 years looking like I am
Wilford
waiting
Brimley.
For you to die so I can get the inheritance.
Yes,
wait, is this why they married us?
Obviously. Yes, obviously.
Also, when they're old, we look young.
Of course.
Oh.
Look at Michael Caine's
so
wife.
Dumb.
She looks timeless, and he looks like he's literally curdled milk.
Iman and David Bowie, may he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace.
She's incredible.
I mean, yeah, that's like, and he had no moisture, so I literally had to get him an entire system.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
But you know what happened the other day? I was so proud of him. I came home. And there was a box on the counter from Aesop. And I thought I had forgotten that I had ordered something or that someone had sent it for my birthday. He had ordered stuff on Aesop for himself.
Congratulations!
Wow.
That's, plant these seeds and, you know.
See, the thing is, that's why, like, he can never leave me because I've made him, like, a zaddy now. Like, he's he's, like, five times more attractive than when I met him. And losing hair. So it's crazy.
You've nourished your investment.
Yes, I'm nourishing. It's like, well, we got to keep whatever's going on right here, dermally and you know, follicly. Like we can't. I don't have the money for that yet.
Bring the attention.
Let's bring the attention back to the moisturizer.
Okay, what's your thing this week?
Okay, I'd say for my stuff and things this week. Aside from my husband's skincare regimen. So proud of him. So thrilled. Honestly. This is a really simple one. So Glossier's new mango balm.com.
Oh, wow.
It slaps.
Oh, wow.
It is so good. Like, I've been using all the balm.com since they came out. I used to really love the coconut one. The mint one is very refreshing. I love that on a flight. But this one smells like actual mango. Mm. Actually, it's not quite actual mango. It reminds me of, do you remember the Body Shop body butter?
Do I?
But there was a mango body butter,
yes.
which mm-hmm. brings me back. Year 7 at school, like first year of secondary school, it's one of those very sharp, kind of sensory memories.
Yeah.
And it smells exactly like that. And it's so good. And it, you know, works as well as all the other balm.coms.
Do you put it on your eyebrows?
I don't. Should I?
I've heard if you put it on your eyebrows, it gives you like, when you're really trying to go natural and trying to keep it like fresh face, it keeps everything sort of down and like defined and like, you know.
I have said, the thing I like,
thank you.
They are great eyebrows.
Yeah. I work hard to keep these.
It's beautiful.
It's a full-time
job.
Thank
you. It's a full-time
job. I will say the balm.com, I've used it as like a highlighter occasionally, like in a pinch, just like a tiny bit on the top of the cheekbones and stuff, just to, you know, when I'm in a pinch. But yeah, I'm going to try the eyebrows.
You want to just Marlena Dietrich a little bit.
I love it. All right, what about you, Pri? What did you get this week?
You know me and my journeys and how we always talk about Vintner's daughter every freaking week and how I wish I could use it, but the scent is too much. So
what does it smell like?
It smells like lots of flowers. I'm super sensitive. We always talk about my stupid nose. It's so irritating. But I have found a product. I believe it was given to me in a gift bag, and it was the only thing that I was impressed by. It Kiehl's Midnight Recovery Concentrate.
It's excellent. It is great. I got it in a gift bag.
I got it in a gift bag, and it's like an oil, and you just do a few drops at night, and I'm using it as my like nighttime moisturizer, and I wake up with like the best skin.
To put an oil, it's so dicey to put oil on your face at night. I get so worried. I just get scared I'm going to break out.
I also have that, but I think that's like an 80s thing. Yeah. That's like missing, you know, it's like how fat was going to make you fat.
Yes.
And that's not true anymore.
Y'all.
Oil is not going to make you break out. Yeah, oil is going to keep the moisture in your skin so that when you wake up in the morning, you don't look like a hag.
Yeah.
And my eyes are less puffy, like all of it. It's working really well. And it's like, I think $20-some.
I say there are a few Kiehl's products which are deeply slept on because it is just so readily available everywhere. And it's such like a mall brand.
Yeah.
But I will say that the vitamin C concentrate that they have,
it's really good.
It's excellent. Last year I had developed a tiny line in the middle of my forehead.
Yes. Yeah. What is
God like, my scowling? It was just like everyone was just pissing me off.
It's this administration. Yes, we're all getting the frown line.
I want to sue him when this is done.
Absolutely. It's just like, this is for the
class action. I'm not even kidding. I'm going to be on CNN in a year and be like, yes.
So, facial reparations. Let's talk about it.
I did file with the Supreme Court. Class action lawsuit.
You need to keep me in cocoa butter for life.
Life for life.
This is what I want. But I started using this, and again, I got this Kiehl's vitamin C concentrate in a gift bag, and I used it for maybe 3 weeks, and this line disappeared. And it's never come back.
People sleep on vitamin C, I think. Yeah. People sleep on vitamin C. It's just a little bit.
Or they discover it later.
Or don't know when to put it on. Like what part of the routine to put it on.
I just slap everything on at night and hope for the best.
Yeah,
and
me
cross
too.
Cross my fingers and see what happens.
Do you guys do 10-step K-beauty?
I do like maybe close to that. I'm getting there. So I do a double cleanse. So that's two.
Yeah.
Then I do an AHA exfoliator. So that's three. Then I do
every day.
Every day, twice a day. Then what else? Then I do a rose water spray.
Yeah.
So that's four. Then a
that's where you get let's to see. Humectant, yeah. Right?
And then hold on. Listen. Then that's the vitamin C. That's five. Then there's another serum. Oh, I've been using the Herbivore Prism Serum, so that's six.
Ooh.
Then a light, a dark spot corrector, so that's seven.
Oh, yeah.
Then a moisturizer, so that's, eight. Then sunscreen, which is nine. So, I'm one step away. I'm one step away, you guys.
I wash, I moisturize, and I SPF.
I mean,
those are all important.
Those are important.
Yeah.
That's if you're gonna do it, just like, make sure
what
you're doing and what you're doing.
I also don't do anything. Like Camilla is like out in the world.
I'm not.
I don't
out in the world.
Yeah,
you're both out right now. You're out right now. This is actually outside.
This is outside. I don't know. Then I just go to my facialist for tune-ups. Yeah. I'm like, I want to do something with this.
Yeah. Have you guys ever got Fraxel?
No. What is?
It's a laser. I get it three times a year.
You do? Yeah. Tell us more.
They numb you for like 30 minutes, and then they take a laser and they put it over your face, and then you have to be in the dark. You cannot be in the sun. I made the one mistake of being in the sun, like had like a dark spot right here like 6 months. You cannot be
six
in the
months.
Sun. Yeah, it takes a long time for my skin to turn over.
Yeah.
And then your face falls off. I didn't know.
Oh, I've heard about that.
I didn't know. The first couple of times it was like tight and I'd be walking. I was like, I'm a very out and about person. Well, I was before I got married. And then I would be like just walking around with like skin just like hanging off me looking like a freak. And then I was like, goodness. I can't, this is messing up my life. I cannot do this. And then I started learning that you take those, what do you call those things? Like remember Stridex pads? Like it's the consistency of a Stridex pad.
Those,
and just sort of like exfoliate. Every two times a day, gently with some gentle cleanser, just gently cleanse your face with it, and it would, it made it turn over less aggressively, so I didn't look like, you know, I was looking
like your face
I
mean, was falling off.
Yeah, I'd be going, yeah, and people would be like, hi. It's winter.
You're very smooth. It's so, very smooth. Yeah,
so where do you get it done, and how much is it?
You okay, so the place that I go to is $350. It's called AMA Skincare on San Vicente in Los Angeles. But it can be $1,000. That place is not expensive.
Okay.
But it's in it. They also cater to dark skin, like, you know, women of color.
Yeah.
So that's the only place I go that I let them touch my face.
Yeah, because a lot of the lasers can't do dark skin.
Yeah, they can. And this one is an erbium laser. Okay. So it's an erbium. And that's why I only go there, because they have the laser.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So we had some, we were very curious about some, I mean, I'm always curious about your job.
Yes, please.
So now you have worked with a lot of women who are clearly interested in how they present their beauty to the world, whether it's inner or outer, and how, and we're curious about how you, like, you know, Camilla especially was asking me, like, how do you combat, like, the different standards that especially women of color face in the public eye?
I don't even just standards, but just, like, preconceptions, like how you unravel... Not unravel, I'd say, you know, how you dismantle is probably a better word, a pre-existing narrative about a how a woman of color presents, whether she is black, whether she is Latin, to then allow the persona of the actual person that you are representing to be able to be projected.
You mean like when as I do it through my clientele?
Yeah.
I got it. To be honest with you, it's difficult because... there are, depending on the person, there is their own sort of what they've presented to the world and what they actually do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are certain clients that were extremely transparent about what they are, you know, what they're committed to. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of closely held secrets, like not sharing a whole lot of anything at all. For me, you know, my favorite client right now, I don't have a problem saying this, is Dasha Polanco, because she is very authentic. She is very true to who she is, where how she was brought up, and she's very honest with me, which makes it a lot easier to do my job. She talks about her beauty products. Last night she was like, girl, I just slapped on some Jergens on my face and then I go to bed. And I was like,
gotta have her on.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there are some things that she does. She wears Burt's Bees lip stain, but then she'll go and, you know, buy Louboutins, and I think that she understands high low market, but she's also a girl from Queens, and she understands exactly like what she is, like what has always worked for her.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, this has always worked for me, this is my skin, this is what's always worked for me, and I compel her every day to talk about that, because she is so, you know, honest and she is generally comfortable in her skin. Like, she knows that she's sexy, but, you know, everybody has like their high low moments, and she's honest about those things too. And I think that I'd rather work with someone like that than someone who's sort of behind a facade or presenting you know, this authenticity or this transparency, when that's not really what the deal is.
Yeah.
I think it's becoming a lot harder to present something and not live and not walk the talk, because you are being seen and people will turn around. Like, people don't do it as much anymore because it's kind of like cheesy, but people for the longest time in the beginning of social media be like, I saw so-and-so with the pimple on her face and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, things like that. And, you know, they're always supposed to be perfect in people's eyes. And I think with the Kardashian era being what it is, I think people are tired of that. I think there's
the
no
polish.
It's tired. I started following on Reddit, Instagram, like reality. I think that's what this subreddit is called.
I think I've been on this subreddit.
Yeah. It's- It's amazing, yeah. though. What it does for your ego is great, because it really has, people are out there saying, like, this is what this person put up, and this is what, and
this photo is unedited.
Unedited.
And yeah. And I was really shocked, because, you know, in, you know, as Pri was saying about people who are shocked that certain celebrities don't write their own tweets, I, for in the early days of Instagram, I didn't realize that there were photo editing apps that everyone was using.
I was like, wow, 3,
everyone looks incredible, and they are all very tall and skinny and all have great, you know, like proportions.
I have 3 folders, just not, and when I say folders, you know, that how you like dump apps into a section on your phone. I have 3 of them alone, just of photo editing apps. I have the entire Adobe suite. I have the entire video suite.
That's incredible.
And I'm saying all this stuff because I'm about to blow up my my career soon. Like, I don't. No. I'm ready to burn it all down because I'm tired of. I'm a writer, so it's becoming harder and harder to like have success on social when I can't own it. I can't own the success of a tweet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and that's, but I need that to go. And then if I go someplace and say, well, I did this one, then I'm giving up my clients.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And that's that's a tricky catch-22 situation to be in.
You mentioned that there are clients or there are people out there who are public figures. We don't need to talk about whether they're yours or not, but who like to present sort of a more polished image and hide and keep secret what they're actually doing. And why do you think that is? That's very curious to me. When it would seem to me that the way to relate to your audience is to say, hey, like, here's what I do. I'm just like you. I mean, we've all related to like the stars are just like us. So what is the like?
There's people that don't. They just don't want to relate. They don't want to relate. I mean, they just don't. Like, they say they want to relate.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably benefit them to relate. But here's the thing that's interesting. There was a viral that came out yesterday that my friend Miles Fisher did of him pretending to be Tom Cruise running for president. And
We love to see it.
And it was actually a really good viral. And it's like, if Tom Cruise embraced that spoof, it would be... It would do wonders for him.
Right. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But he
Tom Cruise
think
has
he
never been
it.
More beloved than he was after doing Tropic Thunder.
Exactly.
Right.
Like. Exactly. But he doesn't embrace any of that stuff because it's his personal life is so complicated.
His Scientology
is so complicated that he cannot just conceive of a world where anybody thinks of him as relatable.
Yeah.
Because that's how he's able to maintain this sort
being
of
a god.
like Xenu god, being like A-list. And the notion of A-listing as a celebrity is they're starting to become like that doesn't exist.
Absolutely.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you look at the difference in the way that, say, you know, Tom Cruise, you know, relates to us versus the way that Chrissy Teigen relates to us. It is worlds
apart. I think she's an A-list social celebrity.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah.
And again, it is so, you know, so much of the tone is relatability, accessibility, which is remarkable when she is a supermodel married to a multi-Grammy award-winning millionaire singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
And yet there is a degree of accessibility there which does not even come, that, you know, Tom Cruise has not even come close to.
Because she watches the things that, like, you know, she's honest. And she doesn't, like, also beat over the head about it. She's aware of her privilege.
Yeah.
So, you know, she talks about her stretch marks. She talks about, like, hiding from her kids. All relatable.
Yeah.
And then she understands she's married to an EGOT. All not relatable. There's only, like, 10 in the world. But then, like, you know, she also understands just, like, how, what people are watching. The fact that she asks us what is the best episode or best season of 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah.
It's like, girl, and then everybody can come in. That's relatable.
Exactly. Do you think that's an issue with that it's just a generational divide and that Chrissy is just younger? She is a millennial, whereas Tom Cruise is, I don't know.
No, because, maybe yes, because
there's a distance between the public and... Yeah.
When you've been famous for so long, and, you know, the other thing, too, is they always say that, like, the year that you got, the age that you got famous is when you stopped developing.
Of course,
So, like, you know, if I work with someone who's been famous for 50 years, it's a lot harder to get them to just understand, which is why I'm like, just give it to me.
Yes.
And
when you Steven Tyler.
Yes. Give it to me, Steven Tyler. And then he's like, I get it. But then, I won't say that I take all credit. He had lots of amazing, he's very, you know, he's a songwriter.
Yeah.
So he's very, he's creative. He has, it's just taking like what he's saying and then just like kind of like putting it through my, you know, I'm not a millennial, so like a more of a Gen X-y fold, and then, you know, through the filter of Gen Y and then pushing it out there. I don't think that, I think like she's relatable to me because she likes the same things that I like, and she and I can have a Twitter conversation about V. Staviano's visor, which we did, you know what I mean, like in the middle of the night, and not a, you know, you can't do that with like J-Lo.
She's the gold standard.
She's the gold standard. Yeah. Her, Seth Rogen, you know, Natasha Lyonne is a budding, like, really good, being really good at.
Who's next?
Who's next? Who is next?
Who do you have your eye on, Winter? Who's doing it right?
You know, I love Megan Thee Stallion. Cardi B is another standard, like, just really
excellent
good at
the
it.
Internet.
Excellent,
excellent
at the
internet. Misspelling, words jumbled, missing the whole world, the passion. Yeah. The passion.
She cares.
She cares, and she knows. And it's like every single day you see the fast pace of it. I wish so many people would adopt that type of attitude.
Yeah.
Would just tweet out stuff that didn't have to do with the promotion or music or this. Yeah. Just like, I have an opinion about this.
Or also just a moment in the life as well. She tweeted something a couple of weeks ago where Cardi was up. She was like, I'm upstairs and I'm starving and I'm so tired. But I think I'm basically just going to have to like starve and go to sleep because I can't go downstairs.
And we all know that.
I was like,
yes.
Thank you.
Are you willing to discuss any, I mean, have there been like narratives you've had to like reshape that were like complete disasters that you are
proud
of?
I have one,
of?
But I can't
you
like.
Can't talk about it.
No, because it was just messy.
Yeah.
I won't ever go through that again, I don't think. I will say that. I don't think I ever want to. I know you can't prevent it, but I don't think I ever. I think I have to start living deeper in my truth about things and be willing to walk away if something's awkward. Mm-hmm. And also completely against who I am as a Black woman, as a, you know, very Antifa, very Black, very woman. really a huge empath, like my energy is sapped from the as much as I care about this world. I think that it's not serving me to pretend with a client that something is okay anymore.
Yeah.
Not even like it's okay, but just like not beating them over the head about their stupidity, just being like, this is just not for me. I think that's the hardest thing right now with this industry, is shifting and changing so much. Like, agents aren't cool anymore. Remember how like cool it was to be an agent?
No.
And I need to ask you this pre-knowing your history, but just there was a time where it was like, you know, you wanted to be a hot agent and you wanted to be like deal maker shark, and it's like that's not cool anymore.
It's like working on Wall Street in the 80s.
Yeah,
that's the no one wants to do that anymore.
They know how terrible their lives would be, and I think that we're being pretty.
I'm trying to remember. I'm still trying to answer your first question, which is, do you remember when it was cool to be an agent?
No,
and I never thought it was cool. I did want an expense account. I thought that was cool.
You wanted that, and
my expense account was awesome,
and make deals happen.
I loved signing people. I loved signing people. I would go to like some dank basement and be like, "You're hilarious. Come with me."
Yeah.
And then when I would secure their first huge job, I'd be like, "Can someone else negotiate this?"
Yes.
I'm like not interested in the money. Like, someone else do it.
Yes.
And they were like, "Jesus Christ. Like, what are we going to do with you?"
Yeah. No, I understand that completely. I'm that way now.
Yeah.
I'm that way now. I love the thrill of the hunt, the chase, but when you're like, "Oh, can you be on a music video set till 2 a.m.? I'm like, I would rather sit on a knife. I'm just telling you right now, like, it sucks. Like, all the things that I grew up being, I think I got my success too late in life for something that I would have really, like, if I were 25, I'd be like,
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now that I'm like married and I have like a house and a pool, I'm like, I don't know.
This is the most relatable content.
It's like now I'm just like, oh. like, when I was 25, I was like, yes, I'm on the scene. Like, when I covered the inauguration as a journalist, I was like, I did all of this. I got us a cover. I'm the top editor for this. And I was like, at every party, I was up all night. I was coming home at 4, filing, getting right up at 9, going back out into like 4-degree weather.
Oh my God, so tiring.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And now I'm just like,
I'm exactly. So tired. It was also like when I first, like, you know, even like, you know, before I moved to LA and even the first few years of LA, it was just like, oh my God, cool parties, celebrities.
Yeah. Blah,
blah, blah, it's the same party over and over.
And now trying to get me to leave my house
is an actual.
Just try it.
Just try it.
There have to be two things. It has to be for me.
Yes.
And there has to be like someone that I haven't seen in a while.
Absolutely.
Those are the two things.
One of my best friends is getting divorced, and I know that she lives in this big, nice house in Bel Air, and I knew she had just broken her leg. She didn't have her kids. And I just called her and I said, do you want me to bring you pizza and wine and cigarettes? Yeah. And she's like, yes. Yeah. And I was like, okay. And I don't even smoke anymore. And I was just like, I'm coming. And I floated in like an angel and it made me feel amazing.
Yeah.
And I said, I would have never done this if she wasn't my best friend.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen her in ages, and she's going through something really tough. Yeah. Like, those are the things at this point. You know what I mean? Like, when I was 16, 17 years old, the idea of being on set with J-Lo for 2 weeks was a dream.
I mean, to be honest, I would do that right now. Like, that would make me leave my house.
That is, the right, first time.
Yeah, yeah. Just once.
First time.
Yeah. Just a little,
I got yelled at for not going on the red carpet at premieres.
What is more awkward? There is literally nothing more awkward.
I was like, it's not for us. The star of
it's
the
not
movie.
The star. And that's the other thing too, is like, I start feeling like I'm here and no one gives a fucking shit about who I am.
Yeah.
I'm not a narcissist. I'm just saying no one cares that I'm here, and now I'm all in all these photos.
You reprioritize. I think it's like life goes on, like everything shifts and your focus shifts. And I think with you getting back into your writing, especially, like, that's what you want to be doing. You've had an amazing career. You know, you've done incredible things. You've really like started.
You
started an industry.
Thank you.
I
want to blow it up. I also can't go through another award season watching people less talented than me win awards. I physically can't do it. During the last Oscars.
Can you embroider that upon a pillow and bring it to my house, please?
Yes, I will. I was so drunk during the Oscars this year, drunk and like crying because I was so mad at myself. I was like, Green Book?
I was like,
liars!
The only talented person to win an Oscar last year was Priyanka's husband.
That's true. What did he win for?
Spider-Verse. He co-wrote and co-directed.
Such a good movie.
It's the best Spider-Man.
All the stuff that made you cry, he wrote. All the stuff that made you laugh, he probably wrote, honestly.
No, but the thing there, can I just really quick, 30 seconds. I had no idea.
Yeah.
They put a scene on Twitter that went viral.
Which one?
It was like a scene where he was discovering his powers. Mm-hmm. I'm getting chills thinking about it right now. And I like watched and somebody said, this is the most beautiful thing. And I started crying watching it because it was like, I'm getting emotional now talking about it. I don't watch cartoons like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I watch cartoons and I don't like cartoons now. And I only like Adult Swim stuff. Yeah. But that was one of those movies where it was like me and my husband were both like kind of like,
it's a special.
It's a really heartfelt film. And it's also, and I remember the first thing I texted Pri when I left the movie theater, it wasn't like, you know, obviously it was a beautiful script and very, very funny. But what I appreciated so much was it was their noses. It was really, really interesting. You laugh, but it is.
I just remembered, yes.
But it was, you know, it was our first Black Latino Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But every single character of color, their nose related to their ethnicity.
Yeah. Yes.
Every one of them looked like the race that they were.
Yes.
And it was, such care had been taken.
It
was.
They slaved over every detail of that movie.
Funny you bring it up, noses, because every single client I've had goes, your nose. You have the most perfect nose. Noses are a big thing in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's the first thing you alter.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the first thing you spend money on when you get, if it bothers you enough, the second thing is teeth. I think.
Yeah.
Teeth when, and noses.
When I first got here, which was 15 years ago, everyone got the same nose, and now I see different noses, mm-hmm. and that's exciting. New noses.
We're gonna have a whole. The nose has changed. The butt's changed.
The butt's
like,
changed.
Boobs and like, know, you know, yeah. Now you do ass first before you do boobs.
Yeah, you, oh, you yeah. definitely do ass before boobs yeah. now. Are you kidding?
So, we have to. We should probably move on to Beauty of the Week. Yes. Did you or do you have do you know what Beauty of the Week is?
Yes, I do.
Do you have one to nominate?
I do, and it's not probably. I don't know
who is it. It's, look at your face. You're conflicted.
No, I'm not conflicted. I feel like no. I'm just saying this because this is why I love her, Whoopi Goldberg.
Mm. Always and forever.
Always and forever. Mm. Whoopi is she is my soulmate, and I. This is why I think Whoopi Goldberg is beautiful, because aging. As a black woman in Hollywood is, you know, it's like a special thing. It's a special thing because they still somehow manage to look like when you first met them.
True.
And it's like Angela Bassett, her Oprah, and there is not a level, but for Whoopi, I feel like the level of maintenance is, you know, this woman is a get up, wash her face, put my glasses on, exit the house.
She is an EGOT. She can do whatever the hell she likes.
And she acts like it, and she carries it. And when they asked on The View, everybody came back from The View and talked like long, drawn-out conversations about what they did over the summer because they're back from hiatus. They asked to Whoopi. She's like, nothing. Mm-hmm. I did nothing. Yeah. She has given us so much.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm resting.
I'm resting. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we almost lost Whoopi. But I love that this woman has been able to carry off. I worry about my eyebrows so much. I worry about the length, if they're getting smaller. Now I've moved on to my sideburns, if they're getting shorter, if that's making me look older. I'm very vain. I will admit it.
We are hosting a podcast about beauty. We are also vain. It's
I'm
fine.
I don't want to get older.
Vanity is not a pejorative.
Okay, because I also don't want to get any work done. I just want to try to maintain.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
And I think Whoopi Goldberg is just like, to me, one of the most beautiful women in the world because she is so comfortable in her own skin. No eyebrows at all. Yeah. She didn't have no fucking eyebrows.
Not a single
one. When they put
one.
Eyebrows on her, I'm like, that's so funny. They put eyebrows on her in this role. Like, that was her. She was like, yeah, I guess you could put eyebrows
like,
on
fine,
me in there.
Fine. Fine, Mr. Spielberg. I suppose. Also, she's a remarkably savvy real estate investor. You do know that she owns the lease for the building that Soho House in West Hollywood is.
Get out.
They have to pay her substantial rent every month. Wow. And I love it.
Every time
I drive into that parking lot, I'm just like, I know I'm giving Whoopi
I'm
her
going
money.
There
giving Whoopi
after
her
this,
coins.
And I'm going to feel better about my annual payment.
Yeah. Okay, so my Beauty of the Week this week is Tracee Ellis Ross, who has just launched her new black hair care line called The Pattern, which is specifically for curly, coily, and tight textured hair. And like, obviously, everyone knows that Tracee Ellis Ross has the best curls in the game.
She does.
Period. So yeah, I'm really excited to try it. It's what's in the line? I think there's a shampoo, a conditioner. Actually, no, there are three different kinds of conditioner. There's a medium, heavy, and an intense. Then there are two hair oil serums, a brush, a hair clip, a towel, and but the whole campaign just feels incredibly joyous and centered around the embrace of hair rather than the taming of hair, which is often a narrative surrounding black hair.
Yes. I like that.
And basically inject it into my veins. Very excited.
I'm jealous that I can't go buy it immediately because I just got keratin treatment yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta wait.
Yeah.
You gotta wait.
Yeah.
What's yours, Pri?
Thought that we should talk about Adele Lim.
Can we finally
and crazy
talk about
Regisians.
It out in the open?
Yeah,
we've been talking about
been
this in secret
for a
months.
While.
Really? You've known for
yeah. Every
I love when you well, always have the best tea. You have the best tea. Yeah,
not just us, but this has been an open conversation between women writers of color in Hollywood for the last few months. This story has been whispered about, and
it's
horrifying.
It's absolutely bullshit.
Yeah.
It's absolute fucking bullshit.
So for our readers who don't know, Pri, do you want to give a recap?
Yeah, sorry. Adele Lim, who co-wrote Crazy Rich Asians with Pete Chiarelli, they were both approached for the sequel, and Pete was offered 10 times what she was offered, which I believe her offer started at $110,000, and the studio said it was because of her quote. And then, you know, that brings to mind, okay, well, no woman of color's quote is ever going to increase if you keep underpaying them, and the movie made a ton of money, and they should be even now. And to his credit, Pete apparently tried to split his payment with her, but I shouldn't have to take that. That shouldn't have to be what it is. Like, good for him for stepping up, but that's not That's not. It was, and yes, we've been talking about it for a while, and when something like this comes up, you go, it's not our story to tell, but I hope someone gets it out there, yeah. And I'm glad that she did, yeah, because this stuff needs to be talked about.
Did she step back, or?
Well, I think she'd had to because, you know, they just couldn't get the deal done, and because they were not prepared to, it went all the way to the chairman of Warner's, and they basically were not prepared to pay her equally to the white male co-writer who has less writing experience than she does.
It's absolutely preposterous.
And so, you know, rightfully she stepped away, and that was absolutely the right thing to do. It is now existing as an open writing assignment because they are now trying to find another young Asian writer of color who is going to work for scale.
Yeah.
For a movie that made close to $1 billion.
I went to Asia once, I'll read it. Just kidding. Yeah.
I have been to Tokyo. Yes. I know that's not the same thing.
I mean, insane. Well, your story about Tokyo is a whole other episode.
That's a whole other episode.
It's a whole other episode. Okay, so we usually wrap up winter with a game called Rosebud and Thorn, where we talk about our beauty highlight of the week, beauty low light of the week, and then something our we're personal, looking forward to. Yeah.
Personal beauty highlight?
Yeah.
Someone, or in general.
You go first. I want to hear what you guys say.
Okay, I'd say my beauty highlight of the week has been Beauty Pie, which is a subscription service that I talked about a couple of weeks ago. So the things finally arrived. I started trying a few of them. And one of the things that I found really worked were their vitamin C capsules. They're wonderful. They come in these little individual capsules, which are biodegradable, which big fan. You twist them off and there's a perfect dollop of vitamin C serum, which you put on your face. Mm. And it stings a tiny bit, I've noticed applying it, which is how I know it's working. And I've definitely noticed a kind of healthier, glowier complexion, like, and skin tone feels a lot more even. So, we're going to see how these keep going. All right. How about you, Pri?
My highlight is, well, you know that I'm starting to think about exercising.
Yes.
Yay, Pri!
And I've been walking around my house like a grump going, but how am I going to do it without hating it? So, A, I'm going to go see my trainer, who I haven't seen in basically a year, tomorrow.
Yay! All right, we'll see. Good for you!
See if she can pull it back together. I don't know. But I find that the exercise I actually like is just incorporating it into my everyday life.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky because I live on the west side of Los Angeles, mm-hmm. which is not 100 degrees. It's been like a nice 80.
So jealous.
And so it's been bike weather. So I dusted off the bike and I've been trying to ride it as much as I can. And I was like, oh, this is...
Yeah.
This is my speed.
I will ride with you anytime you want.
Great.
I'm down. If you're ever down, I will put that bitch in the back and I will come through.
Venice bike weather. That is my highlight of the week.
And we can drink too.
How about yours?
I cut my hair.
Which looks fabulous.
Thank you.
Love
I did it myself.
Wow.
Because I was watching after I left Hawaii, as I was leaving Hawaii, I was watching Basic Instinct. So I cut it like Jean Triple.
Yes. Yes.
And then I was like doing it like Amy Dunn and Gone Girl. I was like, you are gonna blow up your whole world.
This is a revenge bob. I love it.
It was a revenge bob. Pri will tell you. Yeah. It wasn't stressful. I was just like Kauai, being on an island. That island energy just made me hate my husband in a little specific way during that week.
I got some texts.
Yeah, I had to. She's like the only person I texted. And then Pri also
gives very calm advice.
And I literally, like, I walked back across the street.
Startle easy.
Yeah. No, yeah, I was like, okay. And then I also bought water aerobics things for my pool.
Great.
Which I can't use because I just got keratin. But I did for, like, the first 4 days before I got my keratin. I use it. And I, you know, just literally, like, just working out in a pool that's kind of, like, warm and feels nice. And it's low impact. Yeah. I love going to the gym. And I need to maintain consistency, but sometimes I just want to
gentle work.
Just a gentle 80-year-old lady workout.
You're the second person who's come on the. I think Retta was talking about working out in the pool. I need to incorporate some pool workouts.
You have
got
to
do it. This, because again, like, you know, got to take care of these joints.
It's not trying to get a knee replacement. In a different way too. Like my body is like responsive in a way that it wasn't before. Yeah. It's like it's got a little bit more.
The resistance, I think, helps. Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What was your low, Camilla?
I think my low this week. Well, it's kind of a high and a low. So I was in Mexico for my birthday, which was wonderful.
What part?
It was in the Yucatan, so like the quiet end of Tulum, and it was also low season, so all of the basics weren't there, which is thrilling. And it was great, but as always, because you know you're in the kind of jungle, I get bitten to all hell. Yes. So I'm just covered in bites in all parts of my body. So those were annoying. But I was literally sitting there last night with my husband, like trying to check out a bite on the back of my neck. I was like, is this it? Is this was this a mosquito bite, or did a spider, like a weird foreign spider,
crawl
in the middle of the night, lay eggs in me, and are they going to explode?
Yes.
And the other thing is, like, I think it's just a mosquito bite. I'm like, okay, maybe. Maybe it's fine. So that's my low for the week. But they'll go down in a week. But I'm just, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mine was so classic. I was I was working at a hotel. I was, like, typing away furiously. And then all of a sudden, I felt a gush in my pants.
No.
And I stood up, and there was a giant blood stain on this beautiful sofa.
I did that at Steven Tyler's house once.
Oh my God. And I covered it with a pillow, and I ran to the bathroom, and I took off my dress, and I washed my dress, and I put it back on. I ran to my car, and as I got to my car, I was like, I could have turned the pillow over, but it just felt so dumb. I was like, how much longer do I have to deal with this? And the answer is probably 9 years.
Oh my God.
Anyway, moving on.
That's super sucks.
My low.
One thing I would say for that, I find my period is like pretty regular. Yeah. However, when I'm traveling, sometimes I can like throw it off by a couple of days. Yeah. And so the things that I use for around that time, I'm like, I feel like she's coming. Is she coming? Like, when's she showing up? She's late. Is she here? What's happening? The period. Well, they're amazing.
I have to get them.
Yeah. I have some fun information for you about after you have two children, what happens to your... The surface area of your uterus increases. So guess what that means?
It means more.
It means more.
Oh God!
For a lot of
women. Of this sounds great.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, I'm not getting your.
I know
it's not your fault.
I don't know.
This is an experience. This is an experience between me and my surrogate to deal with.
That's 100%. Can we share her?
Just want you to have all the information.
Thank you. I appreciate it. My low is I don't know what's going on with these two little bumps under my nose. One is a zit. One is an ingrown. And I don't know which is which, so I've been just sort of like poking at both and to see what happens. And every morning I've been like squeezing it, and then I've been putting the little dots on it, my little skin dots on it, and nothing happened, because usually miraculously the next day you're like, it's like oil extracted. So I don't know what's going on. And it's like right in the middle of my face. So
well, I can't see them.
I did a good job today.
Very, very good. Thank you. And then what's something that you're looking forward to trying or using?
I'm looking forward to my Fraxel. I need it.
Yes, oh my God.
I'm looking forward
to forward to trying this Fraxel. I'm going to book myself in.
I'm going to email you guys. I'm going to give Pri the number so you have it.
Thank you. And you'll find it in the show notes too. We'll have it there too. What are you looking forward to?
The trainer. I love her. Yeah. She's like my third. I've been going to her since I got my first job. And I was like, I'm going to spend money on this. Still not fit, but we're very good friends. We're very good
Okay, so there is, I realized the other day how there is one class that I can get you to come to. So my crazy
lying
like...
lying down and sighing.
We do that class anyway. We do it with drinks. So it's the dance class that I go to. The other day I noticed on the schedule they had a Robin dance class.
Oh, yes.
Fun.
Yes, I'll meet you there. Bye. The date. That sounds really fun. That's my new bed. Great. I'm looking forward to this Robin dance class that I just heard about.
Call your girlfriend has to be the penultimate
best,
moment.
The best.
So good.
Winter, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This has been a joy.
So much fun. Is there anything you want to promote? Anything you have coming out? Anything you want to promote? An event? A cause? Anything?
Just follow me on Twitter. Yes. That's my focus right now, is to be bigger on Twitter. @Winter, WYNTER. Mitchell, MITCHELL. Just follow me on Twitter, because my goal is to have 20,000 followers
also,
by
winter
spring.
By spring.
Yeah.
Winter is hilarious. I went to your Twitter yesterday and then I gagged when I saw you refer to Lana Del Rey a Silver Lake Fiona apple.
Yeah.
Silver Lake Fiona apple. I had to
Is
put,
it not wrong?
You, no. The facts. The sheer facts. But I had to put my phone down and walk away. Yeah. It was too much.
Winter's a professional.
You're really, really good at this. All right. Everyone follow Winter.
And also make sure to follow my podcast, Waiting to Exhale. You can find the link in my Twitter that I just mentioned.
And thanks so much for listening.
Thanks, ladies.
Thanks. Bye.
For show notes, including links to the products, services, people, and causes mentioned on this episode, you can subscribe to our official newsletter, Stuff and Things, through the link in our show notes or at foxybrownspod.com. See you next week.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.